Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Ruiz out to get it. The throw from his knees. It's in time. And it's a no-hitter. Unbelievable. Ruiz and Halliburton.
Oh, Chase is going to keep going. And he's safe at home plate.
Wow.
Chase Utley, you are the man. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
Now batting for the Phillies, second baseman John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode number 218. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight and NumberFire.com. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. And this is going to be just a special little bonus episode of the podcast because General Manager Matt Klentak held his year-end news conference and wanted to break down some of the stuff that he said on Monday afternoon at the ballpark, and so we're going to talk about some of the stuff. It was an interesting news conference and had some stuff that I think we needed to talk about just for a few minutes. So this will not be a long 45-minute to an hour-long podcast, but a shorter podcast, 20 to 25 minutes or so, but didn't want to let any more time go by without chatting about it with you guys. So we're going to do that here in just a few seconds. Of course, a simple reminder to subscribe to the Good Fight podcast feed if you haven't done so already. That way you'll get this podcast as well as continued success with Justin Clue and Liz Rocher, both from The Good Fight, and Justin's podcast that he does with Dr. Trevor Strunk, also from The Good Fight, called The Dirty Inning. That's The Good Fight podcast feed, kids. And we've got other bonus material for you, both in podcast form and written form. I've got a newsletter, a once-a-week newsletter with all kinds of great information on it that comes out on Monday morning. If you go to the Patreon Hittin' Season website, go to patreon.com/hittin'season and sign up on one of the tiers there and get all of the good stuff for being Patreon members and donating to Hittin' Season. We would love if you did that. All right, let's get into this Matt Klentak news conference. It was pretty interesting. It was not a barn burner. He didn't have a ton of interesting things to say. He wasn't making news all over the place, but I thought what he said kind of gave us a window into what he was, how the team thinks this 2018 season went, because honestly, we don't really have a good handle on how this season went, do we? We don't know whether to call this season a success. We don't know whether or not to call this season a failure. We don't know what to do with Gabe Kapler. We really don't know what to do with Matt Klentak, to be honest with you. With the trade deadline moves that he made not working out, did it mess with the team chemistry? Did it not? What happened over the final 6-7 weeks? Why were the Braves a team rebuilding just like the Phillies with the same age and the same kind of timeline? Why did they succeed where the Phillies failed? He got into a bunch of that stuff, and also some of the moves that he made this last offseason. So let's get right into this thing. First thing, right off the bat, Klentak was asked the question that we've all been asking ourselves, and that is, was the 2018 season a good season?
Without question. There won 14 more games than we did the year before.
Now, obviously, I don't think there's any one of us who doesn't think 14 wins is an improvement, but, you know, is that all there is? Is that all there is to it? You won 14 more games. Does that automatically mean that it was a better season? Or does how the season played out factor into it? He doesn't seem to be acknowledging the fact that it can color. Let's just keep playing. He actually does kind of address this a little bit later on as we go along. He noted that for anyone who wants to pigeonhole this 2018 season as either good or bad, as I was just talking about, as we have tried to do here on this podcast, well, good luck with that.
We live in a very binary world where it's either black or it's white. It's either good or it's bad. There's no in between. And the reality of this season was that for 4 months, We were a much improved team who was having a ton of fun, winning a lot of baseball games and doing a lot of things well, and were significantly ahead of expectations, internal and external expectations, and were on a good roll. And then for 2 months or 6 weeks or whatever the time period was, for 2 months, the air came out of the balloon, and we were not good at all, and it was bad. And you know what the reality of that is? Both of those things are true.
And Klintak also noted that this was supposed to be a transition year. So they set out to try a bunch of different things, a bunch of new things. They set out to be unorthodox here in the 2018 season.
We were projected to win 76 games, maybe for an optimist, 78 games. That team's not going to go to the playoffs if you just run the players out there and play traditional baseball, absent some incredible good fortune. So that's why I say that when those are your expectations, that's a good year to try things.
Now, Klintak also had this message to Phillies fans. If you didn't like what you saw this year, if you want this team to go back to being a color inside the lines, paint by number, do it by the book, old school Pete Maccannon, John Felsky, Lee Elia style managing, that's not going to happen. That's not why they hired him. This team is going to continue to try things and do things that are out of the box. They are going to be unconventional.
And I would expect, you know, that the combination of an improved roster next year and also an adjustable manager will mean that we don't push the envelope quite as much. But I'm not going to apologize for, you know, the way that we conducted business this year. For organizations to move forward, they need to push the envelope. Look across the street, in both directions. Look at the Eagles and look at the Sixers. These are not teams that have done things, you know, in traditional ways, you know, or conventional ways.
Now, obviously, Gabe Kapler's name did come up a few times in this news conference, and despite a season of ups and downs, Klintak says there is one main lesson that he thinks Kapler learned more than any other this season.
You know, I do think that, you know, part of what Cap learned this year is that, you know, perception matters, you know, and, you know, through some, you know, unfortunate or very high profile early season incidents, you know, he started off, you know, in a bit of a hole and did an excellent job of recovering from that for 4 months. And now at the end, you know, as the team performance has struggled, I certainly recognize that the spotlight is back on him. But I am not at all worried about Cap's work ethic or his willingness to adjust and lead this group going forward.
And we've talked about that with Kapler, that there were times when he seemed tone deaf, and there are times, and frankly, in this news conference, I feel like Klintak has sounded a little tone deaf, talking up some of the improvements while acknowledging, you know, I don't want these guys to self-flagellate. I don't want these guys to kill themselves and beat themselves up either. You don't want to go into the offseason, frankly, you don't want to be advertising for prospective free agents that you think the team really did lousy, that you don't think you have the talent that you had. You want to try and sell this franchise, sell this organization to prospective free agents like Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. And so it would do him no good to trash his own players, to trash the team, especially based on the last 7 weeks of the season when we can all see how bad they played. So I get that, and I think that's important to remember when we're talking about Matt Klintak and what he had to say here, and Gabe Kapler too. Although I think with Kapler, the one thing that he's going to really need to learn is that impressions matter, what he says matters, and that public perception matters. And really, frankly, the Phillies PR team can help him with that. That's something that he needs to work on. He needs to sell things better to this fan base, because this fan base did not connect with Kapler. And as I mentioned in episode 217, Kapler is the face of this franchise. For better or worse, Gabe Kapler is the face of the Philadelphia Phillies. But Klintak did urge fans and the media to take it easy with some of the Gabe bashing.
It's not reasonable, and it wasn't reasonable a year ago when we sat here, to think that a first-year manager in Philadelphia, period, but especially a first-time manager at, you know, at any level, would come in here and be flawless from the start. That's just not reality, guys. It's not. Again, some of his mistakes have been very high-profile. I think he's handled them very well. It won't be the last mistake he makes. He'll make more. That's the nature of his job. It's on every decision he makes is on display every night. But you know, his energy level, his attitude, his work ethic, and his willingness to adjust are about as good as they can be.
Now, I will tell you, I have been critical of Gabe Kapler here as of late because I think he's made a lot of mistakes. I don't like some of the things that he says sometimes. I'm not pro-Gabe. I'm not anti-Gabe. I am rooting for Gabe to do well. I want Gabe Kapler to do well. I think Kapler does a great job reaching out to the media. He's reached out to me. He's reached out to other members of the Good Fight. He reaches out to everybody with text messages and phone calls. He wants us to know what's going on inside his mind. He wants us to know what he's thinking. And he reads everything. Lest you think he doesn't read and listen to everything, he reads everything that's out there. So he hears you. He hears you, the fans. He listens to talk radio. He knows what's going on. But sometimes I think you can be a little hypersensitive to that. You can be reading too much and thinking too much and trying to defend yourself too much. And sometimes just being quiet is a little bit better. Now, one thing the team mentioned that they can do better next year is preparing players for the stretch run. And Klentak noted in the news conference that the young guys appeared to have gotten fatigued as the pennant race got going, and yet the Braves did not, a fact that was not lost on Klentak.
One's playing in the playoffs and one isn't, so I understand that. I think for 4 months it was neck and neck, and then even going into the final 11 games of the season, I think if my math is right, I think it was 11, you know, we were still writing about, you know, how these games were important, and if the Phillies got on a run, we could catch them. So, you know, what's the math there? For more than 5.5 months, that was not the narrative. And now I understand there's a 10-game difference at the end of the season, and one's playing in the playoffs and one isn't. I don't think there's that much that separates these two franchises. They have really good players. So do we.
Now, here's the deal with that. Yes, guys like Scott Kingery and Jorge Alfaro, and J.P. Crawford was injured, so it doesn't really count, but guys like Nick Pivetta and Vince Velasquez, guys who had never pitched this deep before into a season, I can understand the fatigue, especially from the last three starters, the last three members of the starting rotation, but Rhys Hoskins went in the tank in the last 5-6 weeks of the season. So did Odubel Herrera. Odubel Herrera was crap since May. Cesar Hernandez, I think, was battling some injuries, and he wasn't quite right, but he was lousy in the entire second half. So was Jake Arrieta. These are veteran guys who have played long seasons before. That rationale does not hold water with me in any way, shape, or form. Now, the Phillies came into this season, a team I think in transition is the best way to put it. They weren't in rebuild mode anymore, but as it became clear, they were not prepared to contend just yet. The Braves were. To their credit, the Braves were. But the Phillies wanted to try new things. Remember that you were changing outfielders from hitter to hitter in the spring? That didn't happen in the regular season, but that season of developing players that they came into the season thinking, well, we want to develop these young guys and see what we have, that went out the window when they surged into first place and the trade deadline rolled around. And he talked about the decision to go in and add a bunch of pieces at the trade deadline. And he was asked if he regretted also not going after a starting pitcher and talked about the acquisitions he did make.
We had no choice at that point but to go for it. We had to. This franchise had not been to the playoffs, has not been to the playoffs since 2011. And we had an opening, and we had to pursue that opening, and we did. You know, it's not always going to work out perfectly. Some of these, you know, Wilson Ramos hit .340 for us. You know, Drubal Cabrera didn't, you know. Jose Bautista, couldn't have been better for the month he was with us. And Aaron Loop was on the DL for most of the time. That's kind of the way these things work out sometimes. And, you know, we need to continue to work hard and make as many good decisions as we can. But, you know, to go backwards and say I would have done this or wouldn't have done that, I can't really do that.
Now, we all know this is going to be a monster offseason for the Phillies, with them expected to go out and make a big push in free agency for Machado or Harper. But how much can we trust Klentak at this point, based off of the moves that he's made? I would argue that last offseason is really the first offseason that he had a chance to really do something. The previous offseasons, he had opportunities to try and figure out some reclamation projects, and I think that's where he has really fallen short. I think he had the right idea of going after Charlie Morton, two seasons ago, but Charlie Morton blew out his hamstring in his second start of the season. But we saw last year and this year how amazing Morton has been with the Astros. Klentak was on to something with Charlie Morton. He just got really unlucky. And then with Clay Buchholz last year, Clay Buchholz was terrible in the time that he was here, but I think it was seems clear that he was battling an injury, a shoulder injury, or whatever it was. I forget the injury now, but he missed most of last season with the Phillies after only making a handful of starts, and he has been lights out in Arizona this year. Those are two guys Klintak identified as being guys that he thought could bounce back, and it didn't work out for the Phillies because of injury, but not because Klintak made the wrong decisions. But I think the decisions he made in free agency last year are still up in the air, particularly Carlos Santana. A move a lot of us thought was okay at the time, but not really necessary. And then he signed Jake Arrieta late in the offseason at a discount, a move I cheered tremendously. I will never fault him for that move. It didn't really work out. But he also got Pat Nashak and Tommy Hunter. So here's how he put his acquisitions in perspective from last year, the free agent class from last year that he got, and how they performed this season.
Just understanding the way baseball works, that was the fourth most productive free agent class in baseball this year, which is, you know, a good cautionary message for the offseason too, and not this offseason, but the next offseasons, that's not always the best investment to make is in free agency. But I think as a general rule, we did fine in free agency, if not better than fine.
And so what about Jake Arrieta himself? Was his season a disappointment?
I think that Jake Arrieta brought a ton to this team. And, you know, his season this year was very similar to what he did with Chicago last year. The difference being that in Chicago last year, he started slow and finished well. And with us, he started well and finished slow. So it was a little bit of the inverse. But if you look at the total body of work for the season, that was, you know, roughly in line with what he did the prior year and roughly in line with expectations. Just from a stat page perspective, when you layer on top of that, you know, what that, you know, signing meant to our clubhouse. And again, you may have been there. I know a lot of you were in the room the day that we signed him.
And how about the Santana signing?
Carlos Santana was good for our team, both from a leadership perspective, from an offensive perspective, from a defensive perspective, from a consistency perspective, from a work habits perspective. There is no part of this in my mind that suggests that Carlos Santana had a bad season. There's some, again, BABIP, batting average and balls in play. There was some flukish stuff that led to the low batting average, and I'm not going to run from that. That happened. But as a baseball player, Carlos Santana did what he's always done, and that was a very productive player for us.
And so now looking ahead to this winter, Klintak will obviously be talking to free agents, but what about trades? I think this team is going to try to improve itself in trades in a lot of ways, and he notes the Phillies have a lot of trade chips in the minors, at least as far as pitching goes.
Address other areas. Trade pitching to acquire something else that you need. I don't know how those trade conversations are going to go. I don't know which free agents may be, you know, available to us at an attractive price yet. We're going to play all that out, and if it makes sense for us to make a change in the rotation, we will explore that if it makes us better. And if it doesn't make sense, then we're pretty comfortable with the five that we just ran out there this year.
All right, so what are the big takeaways from this news conference? Well, I think the biggest one is that Klintak believes in what they're doing, and that I don't think they're going to continue to do all of the same things next year and moving forward that they've done this year. There are going to be some changes. Some of what they did this year is going to change because they expect to bring in more talent. And that's going to be the big thing, is that we saw that this team didn't have as much talent as maybe we thought they did in the second half of last year. You know, I had Eno Saris from The Athletic on a couple of weeks ago on the podcast and looking at the numbers and breaking things down. And a lot of these young Phillies hitters did not come close to meeting their projections. Rhys Hoskins met his projections, but he got there in a very uneven way. Nick Williams improved a little bit, but again, not a great season. Michael Franco, I think this is probably the ceiling for him. Is it enough? I'm not sure that it is. Scott Kingery, we still don't know. J.P. Crawford, we still don't know. How many of those guys are going to be here? How many of those guys are going to be gone in trades? It's clear to me that the young guys, Aaron Altherr, fell off the face of the earth. Odubel Herrera was just brutal this season after that long on-base streak, the 45-game on-base streak that ended in May. They need more talent. They didn't have as much talent on this team as we expected them to have. Can you remember that at the beginning of the season, we thought the team's strength was going to be on offense? Can you remember that? That just seems so far-fetched to me. But in the second half last year, when they played just one game under 500 last year, and over the last, 51 games or something like that, the second half they played one game under 500. So no, when Matt Klentak is talking about a 14-win improvement over last year's 66-win team, you have to throw that 66-win number out the window. That's what I was doing when I came up with my projections of the low 80s for the Phillies, and then after they signed Arrieta, I had them at 85 or 86 wins, is because I was looking at that second-half record. After they got rid of Michael Saunders and Cameron Rupp and Tommy Joseph and all those guys, and they went out and made the improvements that they made to the bullpen and the starting rotation and adding Carlos Santana to the offense, I thought the defense would be better, and I thought this team would be a much better team. 14 wins sounds like a big number, but when you're basing it off of the second half of last season when they played just one game under 500, it feels kind of like this season they treaded water. And when they were 15 games over 500, to collapse the way they did, I think that's why you have such a sour taste in your mouth if you're a Phillies fan right now. So yes, Klentak is right. They finished 14 games better than they did last year. But I throw a lot of that out because in the first half last year, it was a radically different team than the one, even players-wise, that we saw in the second half of that season. A team that basically played 500 ball. This year's team did not really progress with, I think, more talent on the roster. But it's clear that even Klentak acknowledges they need to get better players in here. They need to get players who can be good both offensively and defensively. That is a huge challenge. I don't know how you fix both the offense and the defense. Manny Machado would be a big help, especially if Machado would agree to play third, but I don't think that's happening. I also think, we're also hearing so much about the team that the talent has. It doesn't add up when he's talking about knowing that they needed to take advantage of the opportunity to win the division, but also talking about 14 wins better than last year. You either believe you have the talent or you don't believe you have the talent. It sounds like they weren't really sure. Just like I guess we weren't really sure what we had in this team when they were doing really well. So I don't think it's time to crow about 14 wins. Yes, it was an improvement, but let's face it, 66 wins also is not much of a bar to clear. 80 and 82 is okay. If you'd have told me at the beginning of the season the team went 80 and 82, I probably would have been a little bit disappointed because I did think this was a potential wild card team. I picked them to win the wild card. That was looking like a good pick for a little while there. But this was definitely a team I thought was better than 80 wins. I thought it was better than a 14-win team because I was basing a lot of my projections off of the second half last year when most of that second half team was returning with improvements in other areas. And I don't think that's been talked about a whole lot. And that's why I'm not necessarily as sold on how great a season this was. I do think Klentak hit the nail on the head. It's almost impossible to categorize this season as good or bad. It was good for a while, and then it got bad. We will see what kind of changes they make to this roster, which players they decide are a part of this team moving forward, which players they can maximize value for, and what additions they're going to make to this team, because it's clear they need to make some changes. They need to bring some people in, and I think that's the idea Klentak was trying to get at without overtly trying to also tear down this team that he wants to try and sell to prospective free agents coming up after the World Series. So anyway, that was the Matt Klentak end-of-year news conference. Some interesting stuff in there. Again, want to remind you guys to subscribe to the Good Fight podcast feed and check out the Hittin' Season Patreon. Go to patreon.com/hittin'season to find out everything that we have going on there. I'm John Stolness from the Good Fight. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'll talk to you all later this week on Hittin' Season.
I'm Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation, and I invite you, gentle listener, to join us for the best analysis of the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in the business. BGN Radio provides you with the most informative preview shows, and the Kist and Solak show dives deep into all the scheme and X and O details you could ever want. Plus discussions with the industry's brightest minds, including former NFL players, and press conferences from the Eagles coaching staff to keep you up to date and informed every step of the way. Subscribe to Bleeding Green Nation today. Fly, Eagles, fly.